Hey there, ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities. From the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
Back to it. Here to do it.
Man.
B, this has been a special year, man.
Yo, we've done some things.
Let's dap it up. Let's dap it up one time because I think this is going to be the last episode
of the year, right?
Of the year. And the season.
Right. Yeah. Hell of a season.
Hell
man.
Of a season.
What, Biggie live.
Biggie live.
Kanye live.
We gave
Scarface's flowers.
We did Mason Harlem.
Mason Harlem.
Was crazy. Nuts. It was real shiny in there, too.
Shiny in there. A lot of high heels.
You know what I mean? The ladies always pop that's out. True, you know what I mean? Because they heard you was there. They heard the guy was there.
You got me before I got you.
You know what I mean? Quick. There you go. You know what I mean? Yeah. And now we're closing out the audio video with the Chronic.
Big album.
I feel like this is
apropos for the kind of year we've had.
Absolutely.
This is a mammoth album. Man.
What better way to close out what we've done? You know, earlier in the year when we did Dos Effects, which is one of the earlier episodes that we did, we had alluded to that this was coming at the end of the year. Before we was fully locked in on doing it, I think we knew we were going to do it. But we knew that this one was coming. And here it is, man. So as we were going back through the Chronic album for the last few days for myself, the first thing we noticed is that it's not available on DSPs.
So annoying.
That was the Snoop moving the Death Row catalog.
Snoop owns the catalog now.
So why didn't you just go listen in the Metaverse?
You're doing drive-bys in my living room.
Walk around the Metaverse, listen to the Chronic. Why didn't you just do that?
I don't understand. But all right, so Snoop owns it, but like, why would he take it and then not want it to be available? I'm confused.
I never get that.
I don't understand it, man. Like, I mean, honestly, like, the Chronic is one of those, not the entire album, but like, there are selective joints on this album that I've never stopped playing.
No, you need them in your life. You know
what I'm saying? So, I mean, Doggy Style's not available. That's crazy. The Chronic is not available. Crazy. I mean, I know you don't rock with, you know, Dog Pound like that, but one of my favorite Death Row albums is Dog Food. Not available. Like, this is crazy, man.
I like the Dog Pound, just so
I said Dog Food, so you're not Dog Food. You know you fuck with Dog Pound, but you don't love Dog Food, though.
No, I don't.
You definitely don't. Nowhere near as much as I do. I actually love Dog Food, but I digress.
But I do love The Chronic.
Yeah. Oh, you do?
I do. So... Or so I thought I did.
You see?
So... Is this like, what do you call that shit, the Mandela effect or something? Like, we had such high regard for this album. Yep. Anytime you say The Chronic, you say it's a classic. You say, oh my God, it's a masterpiece.
Yeah, I still think it's a classic.
It is, but when you really get to the nitty gritty, there's a lot of filler.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. It's definitely not a lot of filler.
I think it's some filler.
I disagree.
I think it's some filler.
I think maybe one weak beat on this album. That's first off.
Okay.
But also, like, this was a masterpiece. You got to think about what this album did in 1992. Like, there was nothing like this. This completely fucked up the game. Biggie and Puff, they were listening to this album trying to create the East Coast version when they made Ready to Die.
People were scrapping their whole projects after this.
As they should. Like it was crazy.
The game changed.
And you got to think about it. 1992, right? It's very East Coast. It's Onyx, right? It's Black Moon. It's who else was rocking? Gangstar. You know, Still Tribe Called Quest. Wu-Tang wasn't yet. But it was like, you know, Protect Your Neck was out. You know what I'm saying? So like, it was super East Coast. And then this Dre just comes with this like, big, massive sound. And, you know, West Coast dudes, they didn't really get a lot of credit for lyricism. I mean, you got Cubes and your Wrens and all that, but, like, it wasn't a lot. And these,
it was, I got to shout out Tash from the Alcoholics and Razzcast as well.
They absolutely. And Hieroglyphics, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So the thing about this album and this time was it was so unexpected, too.
Absolutely right.
Because this is Dr. Dre after NWA. Right. What's he gonna do? We know he linked up with Suge.
Yep.
We know him and Easier are not, you know,
at
in
all.
The best of terms.
At all.
Ice Cube had already left the group.
Absolutely.
And so we like, what is this Death Row thing gonna be? What is Dr. Dre gonna do?
And man. They got a whole clique, like they got a movement going on.
Crazy. I think that is, well, let's get to the album.
Yeah.
Let's get to the album. The Chronic intro, we won't rate it, but a great way to set the album off.
One of the hardest. Again.
Great way to set the album off.
Can you imagine this track, hearing this track for the first time in 1992? Like, wait, what?
That was one of the comments I saw. Somebody said, I wish I could go back to being 19 and hearing this for the first time all over again.
I wasn't even 19. I was younger than that.
It was just crazy, though, bro.
Yeah, man.
Our ears were not
prepared.
We were not primed. Because
you got to remember, Dre's not just a producer, right? And this is young Dre, right?
Well, his name is Andre Young.
There you go. Look at this guy, man. Yes, he is a young. This is young Andre Young,
right?
But like, he's also a mixer, so his ear is exceptional. That's what separates him. People think it's just like the boom bap, the drum programming. Like, no. It's not just the wah wah keys.
The Sonics,
yeah. Man. It's like with you know how people always get Timbaland, right? Timbaland and Danger, right? To mix their drums, because nobody can fuck with their drums, man. Yeah. This is Dre, man. Dre was crazy, man. Sonically, crazy. Premier was the guy on the East Coast, but his stuff was very gritty. You know, very dirty. You know,
right.
What I'm saying,
samples. It was predicated in being dirty.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
They took pride in that.
That was the
whereas
thing.
Dre's shit was like, you want to hear
every
snare, every kick, every sound, every sample, every part of the beat. Like, you want it to be pristine coming through.
Right.
Let's get to Dre Day.
Okay. It's unfortunate this is the first song on this album.
Why?
Because it's such a great album. So monumental, but you know, the history now is like it's sad now. It's like you can't even really get into the beef, right? It's almost like like you listen to like you know the Bitch in You, right? Common, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, but like it seems old. Like they're grown men, you know, have gone on to do so many other amazing things individually.
Yes.
So like the how that song felt to me on a mixtape level in 1990, whenever that song came out, 92, 93, whatever, I don't feel the same. So this song too, like it was very raw and like, oh, I mean, they made a video to this.
Yeah.
Mocking Luke Skywalker Campbell, mocking Eazy-E. Like this is crazy. And now you
don't leave out Tim M-U-T.
Oh, Tim Dog, a boy from the Bronx, right?
Yeah,
you know, so like, you know, so it was like, it was extremely petty track, you know, it was very lowbrow. And it's unfortunate because the track itself is still hard. It's still hard, but like, it's like, you know, making, you know, homophobic jokes and like, you know, talking about dick and blah blah and trying to make fun of, like, it doesn't, as a grown man, it doesn't knock the same, man.
I think it still knocks musically,
yes.
But yes,
yes,
you'll hear me talk about the content of the album.
Oh, bro. It's bitches, hoes, and guns. I mean,
it's just different now, bro. It's different now.
Yeah.
And even when I try to take myself back to 20 years ago,
yeah,
right? When 30 years ago,
yeah,
when I try
yeah.
to take my back
ago.
30 years ago,
30 years ago.
I just can't. I can't drop down into that same place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I can't vibrate that low.
I don't. All right, you're right. I can't drop down there, but I still understand it. Like,
oh,
I,
for sure.
Like, I still know who I was as a freshman in college. Excuse me, a freshman in high school. You know, I still know the feeling. Like, I mean, I was raised wrong by these guys.
We talk about it all the time.
Like, right, I was raised wrong.
Like, the more I listen to this shit, I'm like,
I'll get the specific stuff.
I get it now.
Yeah, like, I mean, like, who was raving about, just like, you know, whatever they talk about, like, you know, the conspiracy. Like, I found an old Scarface clip, right? He was like, you know, you can't tell me this is not a conspiracy. Like, yo, they were really peddling genocide, man.
Yeah, nah, for sure.
Like, I know the hood, like, yes, and that was going on, and that was the fucked up thing about not having reflect. What?
No, I want you to finish your point. I don't want to cut you off.
The fucked up thing about not having reflection is because you latch on. It's like being a starving man. If you're a starving man and somebody throws you a roll of Ritz crackers, you're going to think that's filet mignon, right? Or whatever
right,
you eat.
Right, right,
that's your,
right,
I don't even
you
eat, but
to,
that's your
right,
thing, right?
You know
what
I mean?
You're going to think that's a five-course meal. That's the thing. We were so thirsty for reflection in our music. When we saw the shit that's in our hood that was negative, we were like, oh, it looks authentic. but we didn't have the balance. But I mean, that's why we love the Native Tongues and Tribe Called Quest and all that. But anyway.
So, because when we were younger, right, we were against Clarence Thomas and C. Dolores Tucker and them steamrolling the CDs. But were they wrong, B?
They were wrong in their approach. They were wrong in their approach. Like, what happened? You're like, we were oppressed people. You should never publicly go against us because we're injured people. We don't even know better. These are kids. Rap music is a bunch of kids screaming to be heard. Just
listen, see me, hear me.
Again, you from the hood. So like, you know, if you only know your projects, your block, your neighborhood, your set, if that's all you know, then what do you expect for them? How do you expect them to express themselves fully? They don't have the education. It's for you to come reach them and be like, yo, and show them another part of the world or show where their words can be harmful. You know, but instead of like waving your finger like
that
separating us.
Yeah, that approach never works. And we still, 30 years later, we haven't found a better way, for the most part, to communicate with the younger generations.
Especially because still that gap. Especially because C. Dolores Tucker and Tupac had the same enemies.
That's a fact.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front row. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
You know what I mean? That's a fact. That's a fact. I was gonna make a really bad joke, so let's just get on to So yeah,
let's
man.
Keep it high, keep it high. You said you can't go down.
We vibrate high. You're right. I mean, for although, you know, rest in power to Easy and you know, although they killing Easy and Luke and Tim Dog, Snoop as a novice is so good.
So good.
You shouldn't be this good.
He was special.
As I mean, like a pup. Special. No pun. Right. Straight off the street.
Special.
Straight off the street.
Special.
They did Deep Cover, so the Deep Cover soundtrack came. The song Deep Cover came right before this.
91.
But you know, if you look at Snoop in his earlier interviews, you know, where he didn't look at the camera, where he was so uncomfortable with having the lights on him, right? Because he's straight out of Long Beach.
Straight out of Long Beach.
For him to be so green as a talent, he was amazing.
Amazing.
Amazing, bro.
I mean, you can't teach that kind of, those kind
you
of pockets.
You can't. No way. That's God-given. That's God-given. Like, finding those pockets, knowing how to deliver the record. I mean, his tone is unique
and then
in itself.
And then think about it. He's batting second pen-wise to D.O.C.
Right. D.O.C. is pinning all the Dre shit.
As a pup. Like, think about it. You're the number two writer on Death Row for Dre, NWA fame, and you are a rookie. Mm. You haven't even had an album yet.
You haven't
yet. And you're writing for Dre.
Crazy.
Insane, man.
The in and outs on verse 3, I think, are brilliant.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Jewel, who closes.
She sounds so good.
Yo, I love the randomness of Jewel popping up at the end of these records and just crooning out crazy.
I just want my publishing. That's what
I was just gonna get a piece of the song.
She sounds great too.
Oh man, we lost her May of this year, man. So like, it's almost unnecessary, but it makes the record that much better. Yeah.
Did Michelle take Jewel's spot,
or did Jewel take Michelle's spot?
Oh, yes, the breakup, right? Because she's fucking with Dre.
Think about it.
I'm saying, why didn't we get more Jewel? That's all I'm saying.
Think about it.
Why did we get more?
So you spoke to the content of it, B. Mm-hmm. I'm very curious to see where you landed. I land high.
You land high.
I land high.
I give it 8.5.
8.5?
Yeah.
Okay, just a little bit higher. No. I gave it a 9.
Okay,
yeah. The music, man. The music is so good. Talk about this shit.
It's so good.
And let's go on to, because there's a point I want to make, but we'll be able to make
it. And for the record, this was never one of my favorite songs on this album.
Word.
Nah. I think it was, you know, we talk about this with Jay, right, in the Sunshine video. I think it was the video. The video just seems so hokey. You know what I mean? I'm teenage me.
For sure.
Super serious. It's razor blazing in mouth, you know, ball heads, hoodies, Timberland boots.
But like, I like that because Dre had given us so much of that at NWA that I was I enjoyed seeing a comical side.
I was like,
oh, they really clowning Eazy-E.
Oh, hard body, yeah.
Like, it popped, like, and they had so many incidents that where it really popped off that to see them kind of poke fun at it, of it, I thought it was actually refreshing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I never completely appreciated them. I thought it was petty and beneath them. I just like, you know, I like Deep Cover, man. You can't go from Deep Cover to like putting on a wig, trying to look like Eazy-E. Like, that's just didn't do it for me.
Heard you.
As a kid.
Heard you. As we proceed, Let Me Ride.
Man. This might be the best song on this album.
Ooh,
man.
He talking.
This is.
Go.
It's,
go.
It's a phenomenal track, man. It's a phenomenal track. What I love about this, too, is like, it's very much a Dre song.
Mm-hmm.
But I love when, of course, people write for Dre, right?
Right.
But I love when Dre sounds like Dre. Like when DOC writes something for Dre, like what Jay did on DRE, it sounds like Dre would have wrote it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, like, even when he was, I mean, his best performances are probably the Eminem verses, mm-hmm. right? But like, you can tell it was Eminem.
It sounds like M.
Sounds
right.
like M, right? So, I mean, again, stellar performance, but it's not him. But like, this, I've never not loved this song. I mean, it's perfect. I mean, the way of course he's sampling, you know, the George Clinton stuff, but then mm-hmm. brings in those live musicians, man. Mm-hmm. And the bass player is acting a fool.
The bass is crazy.
And also, it's still lyrical. Like, it's visual, it's lyrical. You can see him. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, from top to bottom, just so well produced, the in and outs, the breaks, the cuts, you know what I'm saying? Even the beginning, man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, you're right. It's milky. It's
long
milky.
Time Chachi Howie. Y'all Dre, going like you want to
Dre is floating on this shit. But Let me ask you, because for some reason in my mind, mm-hmm. and I had never been to the West Coast at mm-hmm. this point.
Yeah, same.
I did not know that there was such a Caribbean presence there. So anytime I heard like chatting on a West Coast record, mm-hmm. it struck me as odd because I just associated that with Jamaica and Brooklyn. Sorry.
Right.
I was ignorant.
I get it. The reason why you probably feel like that is because there was a lot of bad Jamaican accents on West Coast tracks.
Mm.
Homegirl at the beginning, she's authentic. You can tell. Like, she's official. But like, but Dre's guilty of this as well. Like, even Snoop does it.
Like, even if you go back to NWA, like Niggas for Life and all of that, they had that twang on there. They had the rhythms on there.
Little.
I was like, oh, I didn't know they was on it like that. And that was just a thing.
Patois,
yeah. That was just a thing.
That's probably just Dre just being inclined to all types of music, man.
The Parliament sample is incredible.
It's amazing.
Dre just, he sounds so in the pocket. He's floating on this beat. It's like a day in the life of Dre, right, is what I'm getting
exactly.
from it.
You know what I'm saying? I don't think I've ever heard Dre more comfortable, man.
Yeah.
He's so laid back. It feels like he's in his car. You know what I mean? You can see California rolling by him. Right. You know what I mean? Like, it's sunny outside, of course. Like, it's, again, a perfect
song. It's great riding music, too, right? Even, like, down to the title, right? Let Me Ride.
It's also a little, you know, a little Catch the Vapors joint. Like, a lot of people fronting him, but now check my whips. You know what I'm saying? Whips, whatever that may be.
I want
to ride. Right. Now you want to ride. It's also before, this was before Dick Riding was out, but, like, it's a double entendre there, too. They riding. Let me ride. Let me ride.
So they barred up.
They barred up. It was ahead of their time.
What'd you give it?
I gave it up, bro.
You gave it all the way up?
I don't. But tell me what's wrong with this song.
You gave it all the way up.
What's wrong with this song, man?
Wow.
Tell me what's wrong with this song, man.
I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I didn't give it a 10.
It was hard for me. I wrestled with this. Mm. I was on a 9.5 for a while, and then I just was like, I kept listening to it, and I'm like, we rate artists according to their catalog.
That's fair.
And what they do. And love Dre on Express Yourself. Love Dre on DRE. You know what I mean? There's a number of Dre verses I love. This is a quintessential Dre verse. And again, I've never wavered on how I felt about this song from being a first-time teenager, being a super pup. There's never a day that's going by I was like, I don't want to hear this song. Like, I love this shit. It's perfection, man. Like, musically, lyrically, cinematically, the vibe, it aged. Crisp, it's crisp. It's still pristine, man, when you pull this out today, man. So, yeah, man. 10.
I ain't mad at it. I gave it 9.5.
9.5? Okay.
I ain't mad.
Yeah.
The day the N-words took
off. Hold on. I'm sorry. I missed. Why did you give it up? What was off for you with this song?
I don't necessarily have a thing to point out. It just didn't hit that level of perfection for me.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
That's it. It's a great song. I love it. I did give it up. elsewhere in the album.
Oh, I'm sure you did.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure you did.
The Day the Niggas Took Over.
Another one of those joints, man, that's always been on my playlist. I run to this song, man.
Word.
This
okay. Song, okay.
Hard.
Very hard joint.
Hard.
You know, we talk about hip hop being the reporters, the CNNs the hood, and all of that.
Stop
right?
Looking at my notes, Tor.
So nah, these is right here. This is right here in my phone.
You said you could read my.
I would never go with that phone.
Before we,
I would never.
Before we
there's things that I would never do in my life, listen, and they all happened in that phone.
Go ahead, brother. Please go ahead.
So we get more reggae influences on this joint.
Yeah.
But what I really love about it is right. We fresh off the riots that took place.
Exactly.
In LA, April and May of 92, right? Roddy King verdict comes in.
Right.
The city is literally up in flames. The culture, but especially on the West Coast, because that was the first time, right? And 30 years later, now they got body cams and nobody cares that they on camera, they doing fuck shit. But right. This was the first time that our cries were
America
visualized.
Saw what
you
was
saw
going
it.
On.
You yeah. saw it. We're not making this shit up.
Not at all.
We've been talking about this for years. We've been talking about right. brutality.
And the crazy part is folks saw that and thought that was still an anomaly. It was like, no, this is regular degular.
It's a regular, it's a Tuesday.
This is exactly.
It's Tuesday,
it's a
bro.
Regular day. This
is
happens
what they do.
All the time.
Somebody caught it on camera, but you know, the movement and the music of the mood and the moment.
It sounds like a riot.
I love when they capture that.
Yeah.
You know, I felt like they were able to really capture the spirit of how they felt
yes.
on the day that N-Words took over.
The intro, where they bring it in.
There's a lot of, for as ignorant as a lot of the music is,
yeah.
like the skits.
Sprinkles.
And the it sprinkles
That's
in
what
there.
I'm saying, the genius of this album. That's why this album is good, man. It's good. Yes, they try to, you know, again, they try to give that balance, right? Like, yeah, of course.
I wouldn't say it was balanced. But they added it.
I don't mean balance as in like it's balanced
yeah.
perfectly.
It
I'm
wasn't
saying,
50-50.
Yeah, no, definitely wasn't 50-50. I'm just saying like,
it's 80-20.
Yeah, yeah, you all day. maybe 85-15. 85-15. But yeah, they sprinkle it in and give us a little bit of that. You know, I mean, whatever. We'll get to some other, even making fun of those who are trying to like, you know, look the other way and do something different, be positive. But I love this song, man. I love this track. It sounds, I don't think there was a song that kind of captured the temperature of LA in 1992 like this song. I mean, even, you know, no other song on this album even,
right.
you know what I'm
and,
saying?
And so. that's what I enjoy about it is that they didn't act like that moment didn't happen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right, right.
Like that moment, it's immortalized, right. right? So even as
got
you listen back.
Got a brand new VCR in the back of my car
right.
that I got from us. Yeah, like, I mean.
They was out there getting it too.
Yeah.
But I put this is ghetto reporting at its finest.
Absolutely.
And it takes a snapshot of that moment. And now when you listen to this album in 2022, if you are alive,
right.
it takes you right back there. And that's what I like. That's what I appreciated about it the most is that I was like, damn. You know what I'm saying?
No.
It sat me right back in
seat. I've never stopped listening to this
right,
song.
Right, right. So what'd you give it?
Well, first of all, I was always confused. Like, who's the first person rhyming?
Why you ask me off camera? I don't know.
I hope you can tell me. Like, because I always thought it was... At first, going back, I thought it was RBX, but then RBX has a verse later
right,
on.
Right,
so I'm
right.
like, did he go twice? Because I mean, the guy again does the reggae shit. You know what I'm saying?
We gotta listen to it.
Yeah,
and we can get into that. But yeah, it's a really dope joint, man. I'm curious because it never left your playlist. What you gave it?
Nine.
Nine?
Yeah.
Gave it 8.5.
Okay.
Gave it 8.5.
Yeah, man. This is again 1992. For this beat to still knock, mind you, I'm playing this again. I wasn't playing this on my phone because that's not on my phone. So I pulled out the CD. So I'm banging this in the crib at obscene levels, and I'm like, oh, this is crazy. You hear the production? I'm glad I actually did. You can actually hear the production, both speakers, what Dre was doing mix wise. It's a phenomenal song, man. But yeah, nine for me, man.
No doubt.
Mainly because of RBX.
No doubt. RBX is all over this album, too.
Absolutely.
I
think he wrote Let Me Ride. He's credited as writing Let Me Ride.
Word.
Which is crazy.
You would have thought that, you know, I mean, I guess the whole entire Death Row, right? You look at Rage, you look at RBX. You would have assumed or you would have thought that they would have had bigger careers. Even to the Dog Pound. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, Rage got her shot.
It was late, though.
Afro, no.
It was late. Album wise.
Right. Oh, right. Right.
Yeah.
Afropuff's on the soundtrack.
Afropuff came in, you know. But then everything kind of fell apart. Let's get to the
Queen Latifah stole her thunder.
Let's
man.
Get to the shits.
You ready?
Let's get to the shits.
You ready?
Man, are you ever ready for this? Yo, bro.
Long time I watch
you. Go ahead, go. Nothing but a G thing. I want you to set it off. Because all I'm going to do is give praise.
I mean, yeah, that's all I got for it, bro. I mean, I remember hearing this shit for the first time. Oh, and I think I heard this song for the first time by watching the video. I think it was, it had to be Video Music Box.
Shout out to Uncle Ralph. We love you.
Shout out to Uncle Ralph. But yeah, I think the first time I heard this song was after school, Video Music Box. And I remember seeing this shit for the first time like, yo, who's this?
Nah, bro.
That's the dude from Deep Cover with Dre again? Like, this is... Why can't I stop watching this? What is this doing to my body? Like, yo, bro. What is these sounds? These wah-wahs?
It was so...
It's crazy.
It was so Cali, bro. Like, the way they shot the video. So Cali. Walking through the house.
They had the chicks.
Snoop
the,
just throwing the hat it, on and looking real regular.
The girls look like L.A. girls, man.
Man.
They,
man.
I ain't been to L.A. yet, but they look like Brooklyn girls. they look like Brooklyn girls.
Yo.
And I remember that hat. That cat with the weed leaf. Because I'm also, right. Mind you, I'm seeing this for the first time high out of my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like,
see, I didn't have that pleasure of being high.
I was high. Like, I want that chronic hat. Where is that shit for sale?
So you was high as soon as you came from school?
As soon as we got out of school. You stressed out. It was rough in the 90s in Brooklyn, sir. How'd you stay sober in the 90s, man? How did you stay sober?
I was
drunk on my way to school, man. It was crazy, man.
Yo, the Leon Haywood sample is just incredible. Mm. The drum kick, just the way it feels.
There was just nothing like this when we heard this. Yo, it was nothing on any coast.
It's almost like being in a trance.
Yes.
It's almost like hypnotizing. You know what I'm saying? Like sonically, it's like, oh my God.
It is.
I had never heard, I felt like I was floating. I had never heard anything like that, bro.
I mean, well, Snoop was floating.
Snoop was that part.
Snoop was floating.
He was floating.
It's also ill too that a lot of Snoop's rhymes have to deal with contraception and protection, and they were also dissing Easy, who was clearly battling with HIV at the time. That's kind of wild. Looking back, it's kind of wild.
That is very wild.
You know what I mean?
That's very wild.
So yeah.
Yeah, man. Stylistically, like this record, the way that Snoop weaves into these pockets,
the back and forths.
The back and forths, like. Oh man, it's like because I gave it up, right?
Same, of course.
I gave it up. Right. I gave it a 10.
Of course. Perfect.
If you pull a beat out and you just listen to the beat, mm-hmm. I love it. I love the beat.
Love it.
I would take a 3-hour drive just listen to that beat on loop.
I'm fine with
that. No problem.
I'm fine with that.
If you take the lyrics off, although it's not lyrical miracle shit, the lyrics are. It's a poem. It's melody. It's musical.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Like, they not saying, you're not scrunching your face
up. It's rhythmic.
Yeah. It's rhythmic. It's the style, man. Yeah, it's the way that they put that shit together. Like, Snoop sounds
incredible.
It's so
laid back. What up, dog? What's that, G? Hell yeah.
Oh, my God.
Come on, man. Like,
City of is where it takes place. Someone that show attention. Robbing like a motherfucker, but I ain't lit. Oh, my God. Just dancing.
But watching. Dancing. But see, that's why it was so captivating for me because I'm hearing it for the first time while watching it. Snoop is he's a star.
So cool.
He's a star.
He's so cool.
He's a star. Like this dude's like 6.
How telling is it that Snoop, we knew, like you saw it was something magical
oh,
there
yeah.
30
oh, yeah.
years later.
Oh yeah.
Oh, just yeah, as I relevant. I love it. Just
having a ball with life.
He's also America's sweetheart.
Absolutely.
The kid from Long Beach.
The kid who dodged the murder case.
Right. The murder was the case guy. Yeah, that guy.
Yes.
Oh, man.
Listen.
One of America's most wanted.
How about it?
Yeah, man. So if you didn't hear clearly, I gave it up.
Same.
That's a 10.
2020.
That's 2020 vision right there as we proceed.
Okay. All right.
Not all right.
All right.
First of all, the title was wild.
Yo, I cannot believe they titled a song
sure
These Nuts.
Absolutely.
Like, I get the joke. The skit was funny. Right? It was a thing at the time, right? It was a thing for years. But to title the entire, I mean, I get it was new. So I guess they didn't know it was going to stick like
right.
that.
Right. That's the thing, right? As you creating these things, you don't know
Paul. Is that a Paul?
You don't think. 10 years, 20 years, 30 years into the future. You don't think about Hard to Earn in 2022 of December reliving these songs, going back to these moments, and having to rate a song called These Nuts.
Crazy.
You didn't think about that.
Not at all.
You didn't have that vision.
Not at all. They just kept it going the whole song. Not the skit, but the whole song.
So, I mean, in my notes, obviously the title doesn't age well. I don't want to hear all of the dick nut talking. It's uncomfortable. Uncomfortable, dog.
A lot of phallic rap.
But with that said, Nate Dogg kills it.
Young Nate Dogg, too. He sounds a little lighter.
He got the full.
He got the full bravado. Yeah.
He ain't drinking enough Hennessy yet.
Yeah, exactly. He ain't got that full baritone, man.
But he kills it, man. He's probably my favorite part of the song, when Nate comes in.
It's not an exceptional track on this album, but like, it's not a bad song. I do love the track. I do the beat itself. Again, it's super fucking hard. It's a quintessential Death Row song.
Yeah, it's a dope like posse track.
Dre does his thing, right. Get a little bit of Snoop. Daz, young Daz, you get his little intro, mm-hmm. introduced to him. Of course, a Nate on the hook. You know what I mean? So it's still a hard record. You know what I mean? It's just a fun record. It's not exceptional.
They were all young, right? So this is what you get when you got some young guys in the studio making music,
right.
Talking about their life.
Right.
Just as much as we commended the day the niggas took over talking about that part. Right. Of their life. This is another part of their life.
Right.
It just didn't age as well. Yeah. I gave it an 8 though.
I figured you would.
Yeah, same. I gave it an 8. Gave it an 8?
Yeah.
Word up. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
So when you talk about records that have never left the player, when you talk about joints that have stood the test of time, for me, this is one of those joints.
Yeah.
As soon as I heard Lil Ghetto Boy back in December of 92, I was mesmerized.
I mean, but I was also a Donny Hathaway fan. So
at that time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, I was definitely a Donny Hathaway fan. That's not true. I wasn't even on to who Donny Hathaway was completely. I love the song.
I knew the song.
I was listening to Donny Hathaway before I even knew who Donny Hathaway was. I knew it was familiar when I heard it. And they didn't really manipulate it. They just rocked with it.
They just rocked it.
I was like, okay.
Which is great.
They're going to pay that money.
They're going to pay all that
pay bread. That money. Okay.
Give all that bread.
Ooh, okay, Shook.
We ain't no shit about publishing splits back then.
Man.
But I loved how they just looked. Yeah. They went over the beat, talked that shit.
Yeah.
And then they brought him in on the choruses. Yeah. Like, I was like, oh, this is dope.
But this is content, though. I mean, it's a lot of like,
what's up, podcast land? It's your boy C. Diddy, one half of the realest podcast ever. Are you tired of the same boring, unoriginal podcast that lack depth, originality, and substance? Well, I got a solution for you. Join us here every Monday and Thursday on Revolt Podcast Network for the realest podcast ever, where we bring you the best in entertainment news, fashion, sports, music reviews, politics, and street culture with a mixture of the most powerful guests that you're going to find anywhere on the internet. Join us every Monday and Thursday for the realest podcast ever.
You know, again, a lot of like, dick balls talk, gun talk, but like it's Dre gives a cautionary tale, saying about like, being, bullying smaller guys or younger guys. And then, but everybody's evened out when you got that ratchet on you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I love how like he gets caught. Dre gives a cautionary tale and then Snoop doubles down like, nah, fuck it. We got to hustle by any means,
So it's weird, right? Because Snoop sets it off. It's almost like Snoop is telling you he's in jail, right?
Right.
Yeah. Dre is like, I came out. So I felt like he was continuing
on. It was a continuous story. Yeah.
Right? But then when you get to the third verse, Snoop just back on the shit.
Yeah, back like that. Yeah. Now I'm out of jail. I'm the OG and I'm showing the young dudes how to get it. You know what I mean?
Right. But even the skit at the top of the joint is more black empowerment talk. Yeah. And perfect way to go into this joint, man. Yeah. I was really, really, Dre came out and got popped for trying to jack the young homie.
Yeah, man.
Cautionary tale, like
you
said.
Watch it, bro.
One of my favorite joints. Love it. What'd you give it?
9.
Give it a 9.2.
Yeah.
Damn, B, I don't know how I feel about us being so insane.
I mean, sounds like you love this album as much as I do. We'll see.
Nope. I'm looking down.
I know where the potholes are.
All in the long.
I know where the potholes are.
As we continue on with the N-word with a gun.
With a gun. Tough joint.
Tough?
Yeah, it's tough. Yeah, because again,
tough.
There's really no bad beats on this album. There's like maybe one beat I do not like.
I can't wait. I want to know.
It's one beat
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna guess.
Okay. You have a problem with this beat?
It wasn't anything special, I put.
Anything special.
It wasn't anything
special. It's still
special. Knox. I think that there's so many amazing moments on the album that anything that feels like they just did it to do it don't hit as hard for me. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you on that.
Like, we gotta, and I guess when I used the term filler earlier, maybe that was a little unfair because it's not filler, it's not fluff.
Yeah, but it's not filler.
It's just, they just, like, it's levels.
What happens is,
it's levels.
I'm going
to
tell you
shit.
What it is. I think this might be a problem. It's just repetitive.
Yes.
They keep pulling from the same, you know, ski mask, drive-by, 9mm hole.
I think a lot of these albums could have just done with trimming a little bit of the fat. You trim the fat on some of these albums, and that was just the shit back then.
1992,
yeah, 92.
Bro.
I can't even fairly say that.
In 92, this album slapped top
to
bottom.
And we wanted as much rap as we could get.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It wasn't like motherfuckers putting out 300 songs a day like now.
Yeah.
So we wanted as much rap as we could get. But when I go back to some of these albums, I'm like, man, you take two or three of these away and condense this joint, and it's just... still a masterpiece to this day.
Yeah.
I mean, but yeah, I got, you know, it's Random Gun Talk, Gangster Rap.
Yeah.
The beat isn't anything special. Not a fave of mine. I rated it really low.
Really low. What'd you give it?
7.5.
Okay. It's low. Okay. I gave it an 8.
Give it an 8?
So, I mean, we're not far
off. Yeah, we're not far off.
Yeah. I mean, I still think it's a good joint. And again, 1992, like this rock. If you just play instrumental, you're not gonna have a problem with it.
Oh, nah.
Yeah. So I'm saying, like, the beat still knocks in 30 years later. Like, that's impressive. Nobody's laid an egg lyrically. It's just a lot of the same stuff. So that's why it drops, you know, a few levels down for me. But
for sure.
I think it's still a good joint on the album.
Rat-a-tat-tat.
Never hesitate to put a nigga on
his back.
Boom, boom, boom.
So mixtape Brooklyn, New York, Torre knows this beat.
Oh, yeah.
Torre knows this beat.
From where, Tor?
From, I don't even know what tape it was, but it was Pudgy the Fat Bastard.
Oh, yeah. Yes. Damn,
with
Tor.
Biggie and Lord Tariq.
Go ahead.
No, because I really do this. I don't want nobody. Should I look right into the camera?
Talk
like,
to
I'm really,
him.
I'm really from that.
Talk to
him. I'm really from that cloth.
Talk to him.
So, I already know and
first
love
time I
this
heard it,
beat.
I was like, oh, yeah, yeah.
I already know and love this beat, and I'm also married to what happened to it already. I'm already married to Think Big, the song.
But that came after.
Did it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Weird then. Because I don't know why I...
Lord Tariq wasn't around in 92.
What do you mean? He wasn't on Earth?
Yes, he's older than us. He's older than both of us.
Right then.
He's older than both of us.
Okay, so I don't know why then maybe I didn't realize it until that song came out that it was the same beat.
Yeah.
But
that's what
for whatever reason...
Jay was first.
For whatever reason, every time I heard... this song, as I was listening to the Chronic Riders at Tat, I always wanted to hear Think Big.
Nah, you're just being revisionist East Coast.
Possibly.
Took over your memory of Rat Tat Tat when you heard it.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Nah, sorry.
This was first.
Sorry, not sorry.
This was first, man.
So, what are your thoughts on Rat Tat Tat?
Also, Big wasn't out in 92.
All right, whatever.
Yeah. Big was this. Party and bullshit. I mean, it's kind of the same criticism as the last song. I loved this beat.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it then. Loved it when, you know, Lil Tariq and them got to it. I still love it today. You know, it's big trunk rattling shit. I'm still amazed that we're like on like the 8th song and we haven't really heard a bad beat yet.
Right.
That's really impressive. But it's very lowbrow. You know what I mean? He's pulling from the same stuff. The hook is simple, but it's still kind of catchy.
Mm-hmm.
Right there, you know what I mean? It's lowbrow, but it's still catchy. So it's, you know, I give him credit there. It's another 8 for me.
Okay, it's another 7.5 for me.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Same shit.
Same criticism, though, but again, not really bad, just, again, I'm appreciating it's still sounding good in my speakers 30 years later.
And it's just raw, too, man. Like
yeah,
I said earlier,
raw.
Man, nobody was A&R-ing them.
Yeah.
Nobody was saying, hey, we need to cover this type of ground.
Right.
They were just in there making joints.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying?
They were covering the ground, putting buildings on top of it. You know what I'm saying? Putting awnings.
They were just in there making joints and putting them out on their album.
Absolutely,
and that's what,
absolutely.
You know, that's
but
what
you got to think about it.
Shit.
Again, like, I remember, like, this is one of those songs that, like, when you heard this, everybody was, like, guns in the air. You know, like reciting his hook, it was hard. It was a very hard joint.
Well, super catchy hook.
It's, yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like
yeah.
As far as hook goes,
yeah.
Hooks go. You know,
again,
it's
a
does
simple,
exactly what it needs to do.
Yeah, exactly. It's a,
for sure.
Nearly a perfect hook.
The $20 sack pyramid skit, obviously, but it's hilarious.
Still funny.
It's funny.
Still funny.
It's funny.
Still funny.
Still funny. Yeah, I laugh.
Snoop is a fool.
Very much.
He's
so.
He's a star.
Guess what? And he's still here.
That's why, because he's right.
You know what I mean?
Because he's a fool.
Because he's a star.
He's a star.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
Lyrical Gangbang. It's a wild title. BTW. It's a wild title.
You see how certain things don't age well?
Yeah, man.
Lyrical
so much
Gangbang.
Why? What?
Damn. Who's getting big? Yeah, anyway.
I guess, right? I don't know.
Boy, okay. Rage sounds good on this, actually.
Shout to Rage. I got right in my notes.
This sounds like beta Death Row. This is beta Death Row.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That is great. That is such a great analysis.
Yeah,
right?
Because
this is beta Death Row.
Yeah, because Rage doesn't hit her peak. Like, her peak, you can say, is probably Afropuffs, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say that. If that's her peak in 94, it's 92. She's not there yet. Mm-hmm. Corrupt, who's one of my favorite lyricists mm-hmm. to come out of Death Row, mm-hmm. also sounds like a pup on this. Mm-hmm. Very young. It's not a lot of crazy bars with either of them. Mm-hmm. It's we were excited to hear new blood back then, but like now knowing what Rage is capable of, you know, especially, you know, Rage gets busy a couple of songs down the street. You mm-hmm, know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know, knowing what Corrupt is capable of. I mean, it's like it's hard to really love this song in 2022. Man.
I mean, I think that's the perfect way to sum it up. This is the beta version. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, they still testing shit out. They still trying shit. You know, and at some point they do perfect it. And we were fortunate enough to be around to hear their perfection. Like, we hear Corrupt step into his own as mm-hmm. probably the best rapper. You know, you maybe could argue him in
best
DLC.
Best lyricist,
best MC.
Oh my God, I love you. Don't understand.
Just a tragic story with DLC.
No, did you see his doc?
I didn't see it. It's not available for regular people, right? You got
to
be like.
No, I went to Tribeca Film Festival.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, you got to be one of those guys.
I don't think they have distribution.
I'm a regular guy.
No, I don't think they have
distribution. I don't know De Niro.
I don't think they have distribution.
I didn't get invited.
I wanted to watch the doc again before we did this episode, and it's not available.
I've been looking for it since I saw it.
You're going to love it. A lot of those Snoop-isms that we all fell, that the country fell in love with over the last 30 years, a lot of that shit came from DOC. DOC was giving them a lot of that D-O-double-G.
Doc was primed to be the one, right? He was the one. Yeah, he came out of Dallas. He went to the West Coast.
He was going to be Dre's guy. He was killing it.
He was writing all the shit. And then, you know, he has that horrific car accident.
In 89, and then somebody said this in the doc. In 89, DOC was like top five. Mm. With Kane, LL, maybe better than LL. Mm. Definitely better than LL, Ramen-wise. But like.
I didn't say that.
Ramen-wise in 89?
I didn't say it.
Like, oh, right. You can't say that. Right. Of course.
Okay. Can say what I want.
I'm going to say that shit. So. But no, like this, I mean, this is before Mama Said Knock You Out, right? It's before, even before Jingling Baby, but 89, DOC was top five lyricists across the country, East Coast, West Coast, whatever, South, all of that shit. And nobody remembered that this dude was from Dallas, man. It's crazy, man. He was sick. But again, a lot of his pen work wasn't just like bars. He gave a lot of that flavor, that personality mm-hmm, that Snoop mm-hmm. had, the D-O-double-G, all that shit. A lot of those melody, those bounce pockets on Nothing But A G Thing came from DOC, man.
Crazy. Yeah, I definitely want to see it. I mean, just as a fan of the music and as somebody who was around and knows just a little bit, you know, I know the tip of the iceberg of that story because I was a fan of music and I was anticipating DOC, you know, after we get Funky Enough and all of that, and then you hear about this car accident, and then you hear that he can't speak, and then you hear him, you know, you hear his talk,
yeah.
And you're like, holy
20
shit,
20-second pyramid, yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, you hear it, you're like, holy shit, this is crazy. So I definitely want to see that. Hopefully they get distribution, or I get invited to Tribeca Film Festival or whatever.
I don't think we'll be back.
But here's what I said about Lyrical Gangbang. Mm-hmm. This is what I said. I feel like this is filler.
This is the weakest song on the album.
Yeah, I feel like this is just
it's crazy. I mean, it's a kind of a posse cut and it's introducing folks, but like this is the one beat that I don't think is hard.
They did it better.
They got it right.
Yeah, they got it right.
But this song wasn't needed.
What'd you give it?
7.5.
I gave it 7. Oh, okay. Oof. High powered.
It's more like an interlude.
RBX solo.
Yeah,
right.
But he doesn't come on until half the song is over.
That's fair.
It's like it's a Dre and it's like an interlude and then you get one verse from right. So it's not really a song. Why did Dre love RBX so much?
I don't know. I mean, that was his guy though. Dre had a few people like that, right? Remember Hitman?
Hitman was nice.
Yeah, Hitman.
That boy got busy.
I'm just saying, like, guys who were around that you wanted to hear, expected to see and hear more of.
Did we even find the mystery with that? What happened?
I don't know. Nobody knows. What's up with Hitman? It's somebody else, too. RBX Hitman is somebody else that was, like, there for a while and then just gone.
Yeah.
So did you rate High Power?
I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay. You have anything, any notes on it?
Classic West Coast track, you know, the same wah-wah keys. I feel like the same wah-wah keys were used in Lyrical Gangbang is on this one, too. Like, Dre was kind of like cheating on with this beat-wise.
But Dre has flipped a few samples a few different times, a few different ways.
Yeah, but I mean, back-to-back songs using the same wah-wah, that same West Coast wah-wah, I don't know, man.
Yo, he was transitioning, bro. He wanted you to feel like, you know, it was seamless.
Into the interlude,
yeah.
Fake RBX wanted, solo.
Yeah, yeah, seamlessly.
7.5 for me.
Seven, man. I gave it 7. Yeah. Stranded on Death Row.
See, this is the week we got out of the week part. See a little couple potholes. Now we back.
Hit a low. Now we back. But now we stranded on Death Row. So remember I said they got it right.
Man, listen.
Later on.
Now this is the time I was like, oh, who the fuck is corrupt? Who is this guy?
So randomly though, rest in power to Bushwick Bill.
Where did Bushwick Bill come from?
Was he just happen to be in town?
I mean, great voice, right?
We love Bushwick Bill.
It works.
Was he just there? Did he miss his flight? Like, just, why was he?
Just not Scarface or Willie D, just yeah, Bushwick just, Bill.
Why was he there?
I mean, it works, but it's so random.
Yo, it's so random.
And Ghetto Boys were hot in 92. They were flame hot.
We can't be stopped. It's out.
Yeah, man. Mind Playing Tricks on Me is already a classic.
Oh, my God. Just amazing.
You know, I'm thinking it might be DOC, the connection.
Ah, right. Texas. That makes sense. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Yeah, do your little brain under that scully there. You know what I mean? But yeah, man, this is the dope posse cut. Corrupt.
Everybody gets busy.
Corrupt is showing.
Everybody gets
busy. He's hinting at what he can be.
Everybody gets busy.
Snoop, RBX.
Snoop.
Rage.
All hail Snoop Doggy.
Yeah, man. This is one of the ones. Everybody showed up and did what they needed to do. I think a lot of the power of these albums, and I think we see it even more in Doggy Style, is that collaboration, that collaborative effort, like everybody coming in, putting their conversation, their thoughts and ideas into the pot, and really making the best song. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, if you got an ill idea for a hook, and you contribute that, and you know the beat is there, you contribute that, and then you got a verse and you contribute that, or you say, hey, you should try to say it. Like, that collaboration, I think that Death Row did it so well.
Nobody was doing it like that.
You know what I'm saying?
Nobody was doing it like that.
Why you get these, like, because Doggy Style is really just the Chronic refined.
Yeah.
It's just cleaned up.
92, there wasn't a lot of crews like that. Other than, like, we had the Juice Crew in the 80s. But they weren't, and they weren't really like doing as much as they were known as a crew. They didn't really collab a lot. Like they, maybe one would go on another person's song.
Yeah.
They didn't do a lot of real collaboration. There was no collaboration album, definitely.
This is everybody at the studio.
Nobody
every
was
day.
Doing this.
Yeah,
though.
This is everybody. Nobody was
clicked up like this.
Yeah. Everybody's hanging out. We at the studio. It's a movement. And we making music, right?
And we still introducing the West Coast. Like as much as we got the rawness, you know, from N.W.A., it was very much a capsule of Compton. It wasn't even L.A. Mm-hmm. They gave you L.A. life. Still heavy gang culture, but you got to see more. Let Me Ride doesn't feel like anything on the N.W.A. album. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, like, yeah, it was a bigger vision. It widened the lens when it came to
California.
I
also feel like everybody was invested because Dre wins, right? Mm-hmm. And then Snoop comes, and then Snoop wins, and then Snoop wins, and then Dog. You know what I'm saying? Like, everybody was giving it up so that they could get to the next.
But before Snoop gave it up, he made It Ain't No Fun, Boy.
Man, listen.
And everybody ate on that shit.
Listen, what a joint. Now, that's a posse cut.
Wow.
Even down to the title. Like, it ain't no fun if the homies can't
that's
have
a lyrical gangbang.
That's a triple attack.
That's a lyrical gangbang.
Right. Oh, man. So good. It's so good.
Too good.
So good.
Too good.
What'd you get stranded?
Misogynistic.
Terrible. But we was in the club or out at the parties, and the women went wild.
To this day, I've seen women the last couple of years.
And still, as the kids would say.
Are you kidding me?
And still. What'd you get stranded on Death Row?
9.5.
9.5?
Yeah.
I gave it a 9.
Okay.
Dope joint. So, for all intents and purposes, that is the end of the album. But.
It's not what the track listing says.
Was this always on? It wasn't on the CD.
It was a hidden track.
It was a hidden track on the CD. It was a hidden track on the CD. You're right.
You're right.
You're right. B's been right today, ladies and gentlemen. I'm gonna give it up. B's been right today. It doesn't happen often.
Every broke clock.
It doesn't happen. Right. Yeah, it don't happen often. But today, happy birthday. it was a hidden track on the joint.
Yeah, man.
So I made mention to
even
this
for 92, this was like, maybe we should tuck this one.
Delora Tucker, you a motherfucker.
Just paper alone. We won't even listen to it. It's called Bitches A Shit.
Yo, it's so good, it's so bad.
It's so amazing.
It's so good, it's so bad. Terrible. Yo, it's so it's good, terrible. It's so bad.
So this song has a personal it's a personal spot in my life.
Do
man.
Tell. You know some ain't shit bitches.
No, of course we all do. But that's not the point to this day.
I just wanted to say that.
But the thing is, they raised us wrong, man. You know what I mean? There was a point in my life where I was naive and thinking like, all right, well, you know, we treat girls like shit, blah, blah, but if you just treat this one girl right, she'll be all right. Nah, bruh. Bro, I had a girl. This chick was fucking anybody but me.
I'm laughing because you did. Like, Usher.
Fucking anybody but me, son. And once I got wind around the time I first heard this song. And I'm like, oh.
I'm laughing with you, B.
I know. It's hilarious. Bruh. It's funny now.
I'm laughing at him.
You got to laugh at. You got to laugh at 14-year-old me. Bruh. And it was like, oh, shit. So, like, this was my therapy.
Man.
In all the wrong ways.
That's crazy, though. But that's crazy, though, right? Because it was.
But it turned me on a different course.
Of course it did.
A bad course. A wrong course. Of course it did. That I had to reroute as I got. I didn't reroute it until I was like a man. I was definitely. Absolutely. I do not disrespect women.
Okay.
I definitely still disrespect hoes, though. Let's be clear. Okay.
This guy's bad.
So
we spoke about this, and especially as we get to some of these classic albums, 25s and 30s. Mm. Man, we were raised wrong because so much of how I learned how to deal with people, not just women, people in general, came from the teachings and the music. Right. And they were young too, right? So it's not to, you know, like point a finger and say, hey, you guys.
They were kids.
They were young too, right? And they were expressing what they was living through and going through.
How old was Dre in 92? Dre was like, what, like 20? Four
something, yeah, early 20s,
and everybody else, he was older, right? One. Like, everybody else is younger than him,
and he already had success, right? He had already toured the world, or, like, or at least the nation, you know what I'm saying? Like, a kid, Snoop is 20,
like 20.
Snoop is a pup, like, for real, for real, you know what I'm saying? And so, and then also, culturally, the West Coast was really like that,
absolutely,
you know what I'm saying? Absolutely. Like, I think even more so than the East Coast.
I mean, hip hop was like that. Hip hop was like
true,
that. But the West Coast
was really,
I mean,
those
Eazy-E
like
records,
that.
Bro.
It was like they were come way on, more on it. Even if you think about, like, you know, what was happening with NWA and Ice-T and the whole censorship shit, and then you go down to Florida and what was happening.
Also,
with
it was
T-Lock.
A heavy pimp culture, right?
Right, right. All of that shit.
South
I think just
Beach
more so
like
than
Oakland,
more
LA.
So than what we were doing here on the East Coast, because it got cold at some point here. Yeah. The hoes had to go in the house. Over there was year round.
It was right. It was definitely cuddle season.
It was just different. But I said all that to say. It's so crazy that I got so many of my lessons and teachings from hip hop. Because, like you spoke to, man, like my dad wasn't in my life like that. You know what I'm saying? Have those conversations. All the people that I looked up to were either artists or drug dealers, hustlers outside.
Thank you. The wrong dudes. The dudes who ain't know no better.
Right.
Dudes who ain't know no better.
Who was dealing with the hand that life had dealt them.
What they can manage. And you can't eat off to somebody who has that. You know what I mean? Who just has just enough or even not enough.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Who's working with what they have.
For sure.
You got to eat off somebody who has abundance, who has cornucopia of stuff to feed you. You know what I'm saying? So,
for sure. Which is part of the reason why I try to do so much giving back. I try to go and talk to the youth.
Yeah.
I try to pop out. You know, I do shit. I'm not posting shit that I'm doing in real life.
Yeah, you won't see me. You rarely see me talking to them kids in Brownsville, man. And it's the middle schoolers for me because that's where you really lose them, man.
For sure.
Between fourth grade and like eighth grade, man. Like
high school is a fuck.
If you don't care, once they go to high school, it's a wrap.
Yeah,
they either like putting you in a cubicle or they got a jail cell for you. Like yeah. once you like, I'm talking about as early as like fourth grade, man. And we lose the kids, man, around junior high, man. So it's a soft spot for me because I know that's where my weak spot was educationally was in junior high school. That's all because of like what was going on in my life at the time. So
for sure. But so yeah, man, I think it's important. It's important.
But nonetheless, this song is fucking incredible.
Oh, I love it.
This song is fucking incredible.
For as great as it is and for as dope as it is as a song, yeah. like musically and all yeah. of that, like the chorus and the way yeah. everybody went in, the beat yeah. is incredible.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're just like, oh, it's so bad though. I shouldn't be saying this.
You know what?
I should sing along.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I don't feel that way so much about this song.
Because you don't got no daughter.
No. That's true. Good point. But also, outside of the crudeness of it, there's also so much craft to the song.
Oh, for sure.
Production-wise, it's one of the greatest fucking rap beats ever.
That beat is...
So that's one.
Beat right? is amazing.
Also, it's still storytelling.
For sure.
Like, Dre's...
It's a wild story.
Dre got a wild story. Snoop got a wilder story.
Beating Daz's ass.
You know what I'm saying? Like, come on now. You can't. He wasn't supposed to go looking for homeboy. You can't shoot homeboy because he's popping your chick. You can't do that. That's not player. It's all fair, man. Like, she's either yours or she's not.
Or she's ours.
Exactly.
Heard you.
There's no middle ground, man.
It's so cringy, man. Can't
shoot dude because he got a girl who said she got a man but don't really got a man. Like, nah, bro.
Yeah, them drums is crazy. Oh my God, bassline, stupid.
Everybody who rhymes over this sounds good.
Yo, you that's can be how great the beat is. Yeah, you can be trash.
That's how good the beat is.
Send it to Macklemore. He gonna go off. Send it to MGK.
Please stop. Don't do that to that beat.
Send it to Safari.
You're just mean.
Send it to Iggy.
We out of here. Okay. Is that the last song?
I rap better than everybody. So who got a problem? Say so. Anyway, what'd you give it? Oh, man. Yo, it's the sign for me. Why are you so conflicted? Because
I
want to
give
bro?
It up, but I can't.
You can't.
I can't. I want to give it up, but I can't.
So you go close?
It's 9.5.
9.5?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a 9.5.
Yeah.
It's a 9.5 for sure.
Yeah.
So good, bro.
It's so good. I mean, even Dad sounds great.
Nah, everybody just. I mean, they ate food,
this
bro.
This is what you look for when the hoe got cash flow. You run up in them hoes, you grab the cash and get your dash on. Come on, man.
The beat is knocking.
This motherfucker Snoop comes in on some motherfucking nurse. I once had a bitch named Man. It was some Run DMC shit.
Right. But he still found time.
Like
but
a
he
still, but he still found the
time. He still found time to kill Eazy-E on here, though.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He still had to get that off. Overall, The Chronic is... About a 9 for me. 8.5, 9.
Ooh, definitely.
No, 8.5. I'm bugging.
Yeah, 9.
Definitely 9. Yeah. Definitely 9. So 9. 9.2.
Maybe a 9.5 for me.
9.5?
But yeah, 9.2 is fair.
Yeah, it's about a 9.2.
92, 9.5, 9.2.
Come on, mathematics.
I'm not mad at that.
Scientology.
9.5 might be a little generous, but 9.2 is perfect. It's more than a 9. Maybe a little less than 9.5. So yeah, I'm with you on that.
And like I said, man, it sets the stage for what Snoop does with Doggy Style. And I just think they refined it all. Like for me, when I think about the rawness of Monkey Bars, Rest in Power to Sean Price, I think they refined it when you get to Jesus Price, right? Mm-hmm, and like then the raw, we love it. Pause. We love it raw.
I still take Monkey Bars though.
But yeah, we love that. Yeah. We love it. It's just but I think they were able to fine tune it and give it a different, you know what I mean? Really present it in a different way. And I think that's what we get with Doggy Style when Snoop drops his solo, man. But this is a great album.
And a great setup for Snoop, too.
Because
Doggy Style album drops.
I mean, he was like, the world was ready.
Have mercy.
The world was ready. They had already sold a shit ton of records. And Snoop is really still coming to his own, but now he get a chance to do his own thing. Much like how No Way Out set Mace up.
Right, facts.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Years later.
Snoop is 11 months away. But that doggy style, boy. Because I know when I first time I heard that gin and juice.
Oh, my God.
I was like, wait a minute. So what is he doing to my ears?
So what are we doing in 2023 then?
Getting money.
What you talking about? What we doing in 2023?
Get money, man.
Yeah, that's always the goal.
Oh, we got some. Woo, we got some. We put my Ric Flair wig out for this one, man. Yo, oh, we got some motherfucking anniversary.
We're drinking
shit.
Champagne. We're driving Mercedes Benz.
Woo!
Thank y'all, man. You know the vibes. Like, subscribe, comment.
Thank you for
share.
The entire year, for the
for
entire
sure,
season.
The whole season, man.
Started with Jasmine.
Yeah, that was fun.
You know what I mean?
And ended with Dre.
And ended with Dre.
It's a wild ride.
They both got fresh mouths.
They both got potty mouths.
I'm gonna
go back and watch the Jasmine episode. I'm gonna go back and check it.
I keep telling people too, man. Go back and watch the Instagram one too.
That was a good one.
That was a good one, man.
But we got some amazing things lined up for 2023. Ooh. Happy holidays.
We just getting started. Warmed up, man.
You know what I'm saying?
But keep warm out here, man.
My brother.
My man.
Another one. Bucks.
Peace. You got to think about what this album did in 1992. Like, there was nothing like this.
We fresh off the riots that took place in L.A. April and May of 92, right? Rodney King, verdict comes in.
Right.
The city is literally up in flames.
I remember that hat, that cap with the weed leaf. Because I'm also, mind you, I'm seeing this for the first time. High out of my mind.
Snoop as a novice is so good.
And we were so thirsty for reflection in our music. When we saw the shit that's in our hood that was negative, we were like, oh, it looks authentic. See how certain things don't age well?
Yeah, man.
Lyrical
so much
gangbang.
As soon as I heard Lil Ghetto Boy back in December of 92, I was mesmerized.
This might be the best song on this album.
Ooh, man. It's where it takes place. Someone that show attention, robbing like a motherfucker, but I ain't lit. Oh my!
Outside of the crudeness of it, there's also so much craft to the song. She's either yours or she's not.
Or she's ours.
Exactly.
Heard you.
There's no middle ground.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah. Or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about?
Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.